You ready?
Yes.
Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendships, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Krista Miggins.
And I'm USA Today bestselling author Just Day. Well, here's what happened there. I know you felt like a little hesitancy for me, like I was about to forget, but I didn't forget. I was busy reading the letter that we're going to be reading today.
Oh, okay. Well, how are you? Are you in Snowmageddon? Because I'm in Snowmageddon on the Cape.
I'm in Snowmageddon. I have a colleague who I was on the phone with her and I was like, listen, I got to go shovel. And she's in Wethersfield, Connecticut. And she was like, there's no snow here. What are you talking about?
It seems like it's on the coast, I think, but it's snowing at the Cape hours before it was supposed to. And they're not used to getting a lot of snow here. So everyone was at Stop and Shop, including me. But I was there because the princess is coming up tomorrow, maybe.
So much fun.
And so I had to, you know, get her favorite foods.
Oh, yeah.
48 hours. So I bought enough for like a week. I think we should be good. I have to tell you, I've been listening to this podcast. Am I embarrassing you?
You mean embarrassing personal problems or just?
No. The podcast is, am I embarrassing you?
Okay.
Super fun. And I thought I would encourage our listeners to read it. So I just sent you the summary, Joss. Do you want to
read it? I have it.
Go for it.
Mother-daughter duo, Dr. Amy and 20-something Zoe have always been close. And with their podcast, Am I Embarrassing You? They're sharing their relationship with you. Dr. Amy is a board-certified dermatologist and psychiatrist. And on Am I Embarrassing You? She answers all of your dermatology, skincare, and lifestyle questions. But the conversations are beyond skin deep. Dr. Amy and Zoe have honest, hilarious conversations about things you may have talked with your mom about and things you probably didn't, like antidepressants, divorce, family strife, heartbreak, birth control, college, and young adult life. They're having a blast and want you to join them. Guests have included Jill Cardman, Laura Anthony, Deborah Roberts, and more. So subscribe to Am I Embarrassing You wherever you listen to podcasts. I love it.
Right? It's adorable. It's funny. And Dr. Amy, can you help me with my crepey neck? Someone's got to do something.
Yeah. Also, Dr. Amy, my skin is super flaky. I know it's winter time, but I'm just sloughing. Wherever I go, I slough.
He leaves a trail.
I know. Could you help me? Can you help me? Please.
Like Hansel and Gretel, but not. It's skin crumbs, Dr. Amy. So anyway, you guys will love the podcast and love the ladies. So that's just our little shout out to them.
Yeah.
But this week we have a letter and I think I will read it. How's that, Joss?
Perfect.
Hello, ladies. I have been listening to your podcast and I admire the advice you give. It's my turn to get some advice. I've been friends with G for more than 35 years. She went through a divorce 18 months ago. I helped her move from her old home to her new. I picked up the phone every time she called in tears, rage, etc. I even had bail money waiting for her after the night she broke into her ex's house.
That's a friend. That's a friend.
There you go. You are a good friend.
Yeah.
However, it has been all about her for the past 18 months. My dad passed away at the end of January. We had been estranged, and she was the first person I texted when my siblings said Dad was in hospice. She knows the rocky relationship I have with my family. Her response to my text was, okay, hugs. Yes, that was it. No follow-up phone call, no other text message. Oh, geez. She was going on a road trip with her pseudo-boyfriend for the weekend. She had ample time to call me on the drive or send a few messages. When she got home on Sunday evening, 2 days after my dad passed away, she called. I didn't answer because at that point, I had nothing to say to her. I finally texted her on Monday and told her how hurt and upset I was. Her response, you know I was out of town. Yes, friend, you were heading out of town and now you are heading out of my life and our friendship. Last week, she texted and said she realizes that I might be upset, but I really need to move past this. I told her grief is grief, and I'm moving through all my feelings, including the one I had for her. At this point in my life, I'm in my mid-50s. I'm reevaluating relationships and only spending my time with those that fill up my cup. Can you share some advice for putting some closure to this situation? Thank you, ladies. Signed, Enraged.
Yeah, this is a good one. It's juicy.
First of all, I think you have every right to be enraged.
Yeah, I agree.
Wow. I agree. What a shitty friend.
Yeah.
She's graduated from crappy friend to shitty friend.
Yeah, I agree. I do.
So you know this. You know that she has put some new boyfriend over you, and she's so busy having fun with him that when you needed her, she was, you know, not available. I mean, your father died. It's huge. I'm going to generalize here, but I'm going to say, especially for women, when your father dies, no matter what your relationship was, it's the loss of the one man who was supposed to look out for you, protect you, love you. It's like your safety net for life is gone because your daddy's not there anymore. And even if you've been estranged, I think it's even more complicated because you have like perhaps those feelings about what am I going to do without my dad? And also maybe regret or anger or some bitterness.
Right.
So you definitely had every right to expect that your friend would be there for you.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, this kind of news that your father passed away is the kind of news where you say, honey, pull over. I've got to call Enraged and see how she's doing. And that's what she should have done. And she didn't. And then when she didn't do that, you know, she had the excuse that she was out of town. But what she should have done after that is just sincerely apologize for not being there for you.
Right. I mean, she said, like, you know, I was out of town. Well, you know, this is a once in a lifetime event for you, your father, you know.
Right.
So she's basically saying, I was out of town. What did you expect from me? But then when she says that you might be upset and really need to move past that, I mean, that's the knife in the heart, telling you how to feel about this tragedy in your life and just being so cavalier about your feelings. And I know how hard that is. And I know you do, Joss, too. When you have been there for somebody, taken every call, listened, and then you think like, okay, now she'll catch me when I'm falling and be there for me. And she just blows you off. Fury is the response, you know, just absolute shock and fury that this is how your friend treats you after all you've done for her.
I couldn't agree more. She's really sort of, I mean, it's breathtaking how tone deaf she is about this. And how she should expect you to move past this.
I know. And I'm not sure if she's talking about move past the fact that I didn't call you or move past the fact that your father's dead. But either way, she's putting it on you as your responsibility to get over it.
And right. Horrific. So, it's a massive life event.
Yeah.
This is not something that, I mean, she hit all the wrong notes. So yeah.
I don't think there's any coming back for this from this.
I don't either. I don't either.
Like Enraged knows this.
Yeah.
But what she really asks for is putting some closure to this situation. And that is really hard. But I think what you can tell yourself when you're thinking about her and fuming or mourning the friendship that you thought you had or have an impulse to talk to her and wish that she had been different in the moment or if she was different now, you can tell yourself, I trusted her, loved her, supported her, and thought that that would be reciprocal, and I was wrong. Doesn't make me a bad person for misjudging her. I took her at face value, and you know, now that this tragic thing has happened, she has shown me that even though 35 years of friendship have been pretty solid, she's done with me.
Yeah.
So it's over, and it doesn't make me a bad person. I was wrong about her. And just like make that your mantra. I was wrong about her.
Right. But also think to yourself, was it 35 years of a good relationship? Was it really? And think about times that might have pointed to this eventuality where she turns out to be the worst friend ever. Because maybe it has happened this way, but I don't believe this is just out of the blue.
Yeah.
I think she probably showed a red flag or two along the way.
Yeah.
Forgave her and passed it over and things like that.
Yeah, I think that's smart, you know, that you'll see that maybe you've romanticized the relationship and what you've done for her is great. 100% love, care, you know, I mean, you had bail money saved for her, right? I mean, that's the sign of a real friend.
Yeah.
But she was not the type to put up bail money for you. And we've both been there, Joss. And it comes as a slap in the face when it happens, when you're like, oh, you're not going to do that for me?
Right.
You're
so blindsided.
It's staggering. And you have your dad to deal with. And now you have another loss, which is this friend. However wrong you may have been, however many red flags you might have seen. So it's going to take a little while. And I would suggest, too, that given how complicated your grief is regarding your dad, she's an easy target to focus on right now. And that some of your fury and rage for her is displaced grief and sorrow about your father.
Exactly.
So that's okay. Go ahead and be furious with her and think, what a bitch. I think just acknowledge that it doesn't make you a bad or stupid person to have misjudged someone.
No.
And what it says about you is that you are the friend who will put up bail money. And and that's a really wonderful thing, you know, that good for you for being that kind of person.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. I think too enraged. You've gone through two massively traumatic events. Therapy would not be remiss here. Help to work through all of those feelings for your dad and your friend of 35 years. That's huge that you're no longer friends with her anymore. And just to help you process and make sense of what's happening.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think that closure is that magical thing that we wish for, that we can actually like close the door and the feelings will stay behind there.
Right.
Or rear their heads again. And, you know, it's a nice thought.
Yeah. But it doesn't happen like that.
No, it has taken me years to get over some friendships that weren't what I thought, that weren't reciprocal, that didn't have the same kind of like love and loyalty that I thought was there. And I did feel like, what a jerk. Like, how many times did she show me that she wasn't that person? I'm such an idiot. But my therapist said, like, you know, it's not wrong to trust someone and take them at face value.
You know,
you're an honest person and you expect others to be honest and not, you know, users the way G sounds to be in this letter.
Right.
I think, you know, it's a habit. It's like a mind habit to say, I was wrong about her and it's over. Mm-hmm. But because I know that we all fantasize that we can say something or write a letter, in my case, that, you know, will explain all and make everything better.
Right.
You can do that enraged. If you want to write her a letter and say, all the things that you've said to us and say, I don't think I was out of line expecting you to give me a little bit of attention at this moment in my life when I needed you. Mm-hmm. And I realize I was wrong about you and that you're not that kind of friend. And it broke my heart.
Right. I think you can do that, but manage your expectations, right? When you do that, in your heart of hearts, when you send this letter, are you hoping that she responds and says, "You're right, and I'm so sorry"? That's not going to happen. So keep in mind that whatever reason you're writing this letter for, it's not going to repair what's happened at all. Yeah. And it's not going to be an outcome where things get better for you with her. 35 years is a long time. You probably already miss her.
Yeah.
You probably already.
If I'm doing the math right, you met when you were 20.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have not been an adult without her.
Right.
And yet this happens. And, you know, we send you our love and sympathy. You know, this is a big loss on top of another big loss. And, you know, one thing that I've heard done is, you know, write the letter, but don't send it.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you've gotten it off your chest in some ways just by writing to us, and, you know, it will be played and thousands of people will listen to it. And, you know, maybe that's good enough for you.
Yeah.
You don't have to send the letter. But I would agree with Joss that you're probably not going to get the abject apology. She's probably going to double down. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to keep engaging with her.
No.
Because that's just going to keep her in your head longer.
Yes.
So if you have a little like mean text here and a phone call here and you send the letter and she's like, "I don't know what you're talking about. I was there for you." Right. You know, that's just going to keep perpetuating the feelings of betrayal.
Yeah.
Like I said, there's no coming back from her lack of caring here.
Right.
And you know what? I mean, I had the same experience, Joss, when my father died.
You did?
I did. I had like my closest friends from college. He lived nearby. He did not call, write, sign his name to a card, come to the wake or funeral. And it was devastating. Mm. And I couldn't believe, like, you know, he knew my dad. He had been to our house. He had, you know, been taken out to dinner by my father. And and the fact that he just would not reach out. And even I know that like our mutual friend was like, "Dude, her father died.
Yeah.
In a car accident, you know, write your name on a card."
Right.
And he wouldn't. And you know, I know people get squirrely with grief.
They do. They don't know what to do. It's true.
But they don't do this.
Right. No, that's too much.
My friend could have signed his name to a card. Your friend could have said, "Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I'm on the road right now, but when I get back, I'm coming over with a casserole and, you know, a movie or something like that." She was just so cavalier.
Yeah.
So don't keep things going with her. You know, she's really shown you how self-centered she is. And like, what's the saying, you know, hoes before bros, right? You know, that women who will like cast you aside because they're with a guy.
Yeah.
Friends of 35 years who will do that.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And,
you know, you can write the letter. You can see if you have a pillow or a punching bag to work out on, you know. I feel your anger. I'm so sorry. And, you know, just keep repeating that I was wrong about her.
Yeah, I think that's important. And I mean, maybe you have a group of friends who know her too. I think it's important that you don't need to bring this up. You're the one in the right. You have the moral high ground here. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think that's another reason why you don't really need to engage her, because this will give her something to pick apart to make you sound as if you were in the wrong too. And there's no way you could have been. Just,
right. I say, and, you know,
your life.
You say you're already reevaluating the relationships in your life and spending time with people who fill up your cup. And I love that phrase.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I always say like a person sucks all the air from the room, but there's a person who just like drains the cup. It's all for her, you know, all the wine, all for her.
Yeah.
You know, you should feel happier after spending time with a friend and better and safer, not attacked and belittled, because she did belittle you.
Yeah, she did. She minimized your grief, dismissed your grief. Come on. Yeah. You don't need that.
So good luck with the closure. It's going to take some time. And, you know, when she pops into your head at 3 o'clock in the morning, I was wrong about her. Doesn't make me a bad person. Mm-hmm. And listen to an audiobook or a podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Good
luck. And listen, we're so sorry about your father.
Yeah.
So take good care of yourself.
Yeah.
Now, Joss.
Uh-huh.
Just before we went live, we had a little laugh. And I would like to explain myself.
All right, go ahead.
Joss is a bit more technologically minded than I am, believe it or not. It tuned into our chat the other night. You saw that I had to hold her up on a phone. But she knows terms for things. So I, you know, got a new MacBook last year or something. And, you know, they make you buy new stuff all the time. So my previous power cord no longer fit.
Mm-hmm.
I had to buy another one. And that meant I had to buy an adapter for mm-hmm. everything that used to fit in my computer. And mm-hmm. there's a word for it,
mm-hmm.
the D.
Mm-hmm.
And I, when I was talking to Joss about the, you know, the irritation of these things, I referred to it as
a dildo.
A dildo. Which made Joss just like spit out her coffee, but it's a doggle.
Listeners, the word is not dildo. I mean, many of you
it's
might
close.
It's called
dongle.
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 That's what we call it at work. It's
you
dongle.
Just made it up, didn't you?
I did not. So what it is it's a USB adapter so that Kristen can plug USB things.
Look at that up right now. Oh my God, it is called a dongle.
I mean, would I ever steer you wrong?
Yep, nope, you were right. I was wrong.
I never steer you wrong.
But, you know, I do have to defend myself. It is approximately.
You do stick it in things.
Of the other, and it does go in something.
It does. You stick it in things. Right. It's like a travel.
It brings electricity. All right, I'm going to drop it. It's a dongle, people, not a dildo. Get it right.
Not a dildo. Although, from now on, it's a dildo. From now on.
Forevermore a dildo.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Thanks for listening. Send your letters to theladies@crappyfriends.net. And please consider leaving us a review.
Crappy Friends is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts.
I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Joss Day.
And we're best friends forever.